वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंद गोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, creation, chapter number 5, Narada's instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam, text number 8. Sri Narada Uvacha Bhavatanudita Prayam यशो भगवतो अमलम् येनैवासौ न तुष्येत मन्ये तद्दर्शनम् खिलम्। श्रीनारद उवाच भवतानुदितप्रायम् यशो भगवतो मलम् येनैवासौ न तुष्येत मन्ये तद्दर्शनम् खिलम्। श्रीनारद उवाच भवतानुदितप्रायम् यशो भगवतो मलम् येनैवासौ न तुष्येत मन्ये तद्दर्शनम् खिलम्। प्रभुजिस् सौनतुष्येत मन्ये तद्दर्शनम् खिलम्। भवतानुदितप्राय यशो भागवतो मलम् येनैवासौनतुष्येत Mataji's. శ్రీనారద ఉవాచ సెడ్ భవతా బై యూ అనుదిత ప్రాయం ఆల్మోస్ట్ నాట్ ప్రైజ్డ్ యశః గ్లోరీస్ భగవతః ఆఫ్ ద పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్ అమలం స్పాట్లెస్ యేన బై విచ్ ఇవ సర్టన్లీ అసౌ హీ ద పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్ న డస్ నాట్ తుష్యేత బీ ప్లీజ్డ్ మన్యే ఐ థింక్ తత్ దాట్ దర్శనం ఫిలాసఫీ ఖిలం ఇన్ఫీరియర్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ పర్పర్ బై జగద్గురు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ కీ జై ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ శ్రీ నారద్ సేడ్ యూ హ్యావ్ నాట్ యాక్చువల్లీ బ్రాడ్కాస్ట్ the sublime and spotless glories of the personality of Godhead. That philosophy which does not satisfy the transcendental senses of the Lord is considered worthless. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The eternal relation of an individual soul with the Supreme Soul, personality of Godhead, is constitutionally one of being the eternal servitor of the eternal master. The Lord has expanded himself as living beings in order to accept loving service from them. And this alone can satisfy both the Lord and the living beings. Such a scholar as Vyasadeva has completed many expansions of the Vedic literatures, ending with the Vedant philosophy. But none of them have been written directly glorifying the personality of Godhead. Dry philosophical speculations, even on the transcendental subject of the Absolute, have very little attraction without directly dealing with the glorification of the Lord. The personality of Godhead is the last word in transcendental realization. The Absolute, realized as impersonal Brahman or localized Supersoul, Paramatma, is less productive of transcendental bliss than the Supreme Personal realization of His glories. The compiler of the Vedanta Darshan is Vyasadeva himself. Yet he is troubled, although he is the author. So what sort of transcendental bliss can be derived by the readers and listeners of Vedanta, which is not explained directly by Vyasadeva, the author? Herein arises the necessity of explaining Vedanta Sutra in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam by the self same author. Let's repeat the translation. Please repeat after me. Srinarada said, you have not actually broadcast the sublime and spotless glories of the personality of Godhead. That philosophy which does not satisfy The transcendental senses of the Lord is considered worthless. Om Adnanatimirandasya Dhananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vande Aham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Sri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare I beg the blessings and mercy of all the assembled Vaishnavas, especially Swavas Prabhu, Naikatmar Prabhu, all the seniors, all the Prabhupada disciples and all the devotees who are trying hard to establish the relationship with the Supreme Lord by the devotional service and who are serving Srila Prabhupada with all their heart. Today's purport is very beautiful, and in the beginning itself Srila Prabhupada is making this clear that the relationship between the individual soul and the Supreme Soul is that of master and servant, eternal master and eternal servitor. Jivera Swarupahai Krishnera Nityadas, we are eternally the part and parcel, the servants. Constitutionally, the eternal position of every individual soul is that he is supposed to serve the master. Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadhati Kaman. There is one eternal amongst many eternals. That one is Nityo Nityanam and Chetana Chetananam. Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadhati Kaman. That one is all powerful, and he is the one who is fulfilling the desires of all the individual parts and parcels. So that one Supreme Absolute, he is Krishna. And we see that in this chapter, Vyasadeva is kind of sad and morose. He has a dissatisfaction in the heart, and he is now inquiring to his spiritual master, Narada. So, why, if we are eternally connected to Krishna, if there is a relationship, what is the reason we are here? Why a living entity desires to come in the material world in the first place? So, you know, there is independent enjoyment tendency within the living entity. So, just as an example, I was thinking that when I was in college, I had a friend and he had other friends. And those friends tricked him. And they said, come with us and let's play rugby. Here you call it American football. And this person, you know, they allured, oh, it's a beautiful game, come. We'll show you some nice tricks. And you will have the fun. You will have the best day of your life. And this poor person, he thought it's really going to be a beautiful day. And he went home, he said to his parents that I'm going to play. The mother said that I'm not going to let you go. The father also said that no, these are professional players. We don't know what this game is, rough, intense. It's not meant for you. But this person wanted to go desperately. So finally, despite trying so much, the father allowed, because the son was not at all listening. So father brought him the kit, you know, helmet and whatever. They have guards, all the protection. So father gave him this paraphernalia and he said that it's your choice. I tried to tell you as much as I can, but now it's you and your choice. So this person went, and these his so-called friends, they had some balance to be settled from the past, and they played really rough with him. And naturally, as expected, this person came back home with, you know, 2-3 dislocated limbs. And then he was crying and he was telling the father that, oh, I should have listened to you. But one thing is sure, that I am not going to play football ever again in my life. It's not meant for me. And that's my promise to you. So this is, you know, I felt it's kind of similar, that the living entity gets allured by Maya, by external energy of the Lord. The living entity thinks that, oh, here is a chance. I can behave like Krishna. You know, why not? Let me, you know, give it a try. Just for that one small mistake, the living entity comes to the material world. And in the beginning, he is given a very beautiful position in the heavenly planets. And he is a controller and he enjoys for some time, but slowly, as the, you know, the mistakes happen from him and as the external energy starts to play with him, just like that intense, rough game, this person starts to suffer. But fortunately, we see that we have received the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, by which we at least know that this is not the place for a gentleman. Srila Prabhupada said this material world is not a place for gentlemen. So Krishna, who is the Supreme Father, when the living entity has rejected Krishna, but still Krishna sends advisors, and Krishna is trying his best from his side to take care of the living entity and to bring back that lost, that missing son who has just went away from the home. So we see that this is the reason Krishna created Vedas. Krishna imparted the knowledge of Vedas to Lord Brahma. Tene Brahma Hrudayadikavayo. In the beginning, the knowledge, the very, you know, the source of knowledge is Krishna. Vedaischa Sarvair Ahameva Vedyo. He is the ultimate, the object of Veda. So Krishna is giving the knowledge by which these souls can understand the, you know, forgotten relationship. So Krishna gave this knowledge to Brahma, and, you know, naturally in the beginning the creation started, Brahma had sons. So Brahma is imparting this knowledge just by speaking, and those are very elevated intellectual personalities. Just by hearing, once they are remembering everything, that's why it is called Shruti, this knowledge that is being transferred from Brahma to his sons. So from Brahma, Vasishtha was born. From Vasishtha, there was Shakti Muni. There, from Shakti Muni, you know, this lineage, from Shakti Muni was Parashar. And son of Parashar is Vyasadev, whom we are talking about in this today's purport. So this way, you know, this knowledge is flowing. Also, we understand that because it is Shruti, so it is only being spoken and heard and recorded. But when Vyasadev, he was once meditating on the bank of Saraswati, and he had this vision, and he understood that the next age of Kali is very intense. The mode of goodness is almost null. There is no mode of goodness. So that time he must have seen all the degradation of the age of Kali, because of which he felt compassion for these upcoming generations. And then he decided to compile that Veda. And he compiled it. He you know, distinguished. He bifurcated. He, you know, created parts. He made one Veda into four: Rigveda, Samaveda, Atharvaveda, and Yajurveda. And he also created Puranas, which are considered fifth Veda. So we see that this knowledge was given, and this knowledge was nicely represented by Vyasadeva. And in the Puranas, he has also mentioned various pastimes and glories. But the problem was that the main aspect of the Vedas is that they want the living entities in their particular modes, whichever modes they are situated in. The Vedas are written so that everyone can be benefited. Whatever nature you may have, every person can be benefited and he can be elevated to the better position. That's why there are four primary principles. They're called Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. That's what the Vedas deal with. Dharma means they deal with religiosity. Artha is the economic development. Kama means sense gratification or fulfillment of material desires. And moksha is liberation. So natural question anyone would ask is, why do we have to deal with all these things? What is there, you know, to be... Why Vedas have a position for sense gratification? And why economic development? But you have to understand that the Vedas are written for everyone. So the perspective is, just like sometimes we see that, a chain smoker may go to a doctor and he may say that, oh, I smoke 20 cigarettes a day, and please help me, my dear sir. So the doctor may say that, oh, for you, from tomorrow, you smoke only 12. And then after a month, he may say, okay, you now next time onwards, you smoke only 6 cigarettes a day. But the other patients who are listening, you know, if some of the other patients who are smoking only 6 cigarettes a day, they cannot start smoking 12 just by listening to the advice given to the other person. You understand? That's how the Vedas are dealing with each one of person. So because the living entity has primarily come in this world to enjoy, so naturally there are many material desires. So if you tell someone that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and you're supposed to serve Krishna, and that's the knowledge. If you give Bhagavatam to someone, they may not accept, and that's the experience of almost each one of us. They are not ready to accept. That's why Vedas are giving them, you know, slow process by which they can uplift themselves. Just like some of the preachers, they try to propagate that come for meditation, right? Or come and learn yoga from us. But these people, you know, they get attracted and they come. And then, you know, we slowly inject the medicine of Krishna consciousness through that type of preaching. Even when Srila Prabhupada came to United States of America, in the beginning, he started Sanskrit classes. He used to teach Sanskrit. That's how he advertised in the beginning. So it's like you are trying to attract these people. And that's what Vedas are also trying to do, that they are offering different sections, you know, depending on one's inclinations. There is karma kanda also given. If somebody has desires, then the path of regulation is given so that the desires can be minimized. And through the process of religiosity, even after minimum sense gratification, one can come to the standard of no sense gratification. So that's the point. So we see that Vedas are primarily dealing with Varnashram. You know, there is also that four Varnas: Brahman, you know, the intellectual class. Kshatriyas were martial and administrators. Vaishyas, they are mercantile class, and Shudras. So this segregation, this distinction is also given. Shudras are labor class. So why this is given? Because different people are situated in different modes of their nature. You know, like Krishna says, Chaturvarna Maya Srishta, Srishtam, Guna Karma Vibhagasha. Based on one's qualities and based on one's activities, a person is categorized into different varnas. So this distinction is not based on birth. It is based on one's qualities and one's inclinations. For example, even in today's world, if somebody says that I am a doctor just because my father is a doctor, how many of you want to get operated by that person? No, right? Even in the material standards, the person has to earn the qualification. Just because somebody is son of an army man doesn't mean he is allowed to join the army. So the same way, Vedas, they are trying to elevate a person. If you are a Shudra, then you are supposed to follow these, you know, these are your duties, and by which naturally you will be elevated. That's why Varnashram has been created by Krishna. Because we see that ultimately the desire of sense gratification is very innate in every person. That's why Vedas are also giving the option of regulation. Like even in Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 5th chapter, 11th verse, Loke vyavaya mishamadya seva nitya hi jantor nahi tatra chodana vyavasthiti steshu vivahayajna suragrahirasu nivruttirishta. Prabhupada's translation. In this material world, the conditioned soul is always inclined to sex, meat eating, and intoxication. Therefore, religious scriptures never actually encourage such activities, although the scriptural injunctions provide for sex through sacred marriage. For meat eating, through sacrificial offerings, and for intoxication, through the acceptance of ritual cups of wine. Such ceremonies are meant for the ultimate purpose of renunciation. See, this is Srimad Bhagavatam. So even in Bhagavatam, you know, it doesn't mean that it is for everyone. It means that if somebody is too much attached to, you know, sex, then there is a path that you can regulate, you can get married, and you can, you know, have regulation. The same way, you know, the Srimad Bhagavatam and all the Vedas, they are trying to give alternatives so that everyone can be benefited and attain perfection ultimately. So, we see that these four varnas, and there is four ashramas. These four ashramas are also, you know, they are connected with dharma, artha, kama and moksha. These four primary principles on which Vedas are based. So in the beginning, when a child is born, you know, the child is in ignorance. You know, mostly in the Kali Yuga, it is said, Kalu Shudra Sambhava. Mostly the progeny, the newborn, they are born as Shudras. Mostly because there is no Garbhadan Sanskar happening. But now, such person, how can such a child be elevated to perfection? So that's why there is a system of ashram. So four ashramas are also created. So in the beginning, there is Brahmachari ashram. So when a child, you know, reaches a certain age, the child is sent to a spiritual master. And then there he has to follow the strict principles of Brahmachari ashram. So what is Brahmachari? What are the qualities? Brahmana, Kshatriya, Visham. So these are the four Shudra. These four are the Varnas. And then for for the Brahmana, for the Brahmachari, now, you know, when somebody is trying to become a Brahmachari in under the direction of the spiritual master, then that person will try to learn all the scriptures. You know, what is moral, what is immoral, what is good, what is bad, what is good for me and what is not good for me. And he will learn all the different scriptures, ultimately leading to who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how to serve him and stuff. So that is the Brahmachari life, which is connected to the Dharma, the religiosity principle. Now the next is, some Brahmacharis may want to get married when, you know, they are like 25. Some of them would want to marry. They are called Upakurvan Brahmacharis. That category is also there, that those Brahmacharis, they have joined to, you know, get the knowledge, but somehow, you know, they want to also get married. So they are Upakurvan, like Krishna and Balram. When they joined Sandipani Muni, they wanted to learn all the arts, and then they wanted to also be the administrators. Also Sudama Brahman. So there are examples. And the second category of Brahmacharis is, they are Brihad Vrata. That means they have taken the strict vow of celibacy for life. They do not want to get married. And then those who are Upakurvan, those who want to get married, they will enter Grihastha Ashram, householder life. And naturally, for householders, you know, they have to earn livelihood. So that's why there is this second section of the Vedas that deals with economic development, that is called Artha. And then there is also sense gratification. Like in the married life, a person is allowed certain type of sense gratification. Like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Dharmo aviruddha bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshava. That I am sex life that is not contrary to the religious principles. So Krishna says that I am that sex life that is in the married life. So we see that these all variety of knowledge that is also given in the practice through the process of Varnashram. So after the householders, when they have children, and when the children are grown up, and this householder couple also reaches a certain point in their life, when they develop detachment, you know, usually 50 years of age, they are supposed to, you know, proceed to the next ashram. So the householder couple may decide to go for the vanaprastha. And from the vanaprastha and sannyas, it completely deals with the liberation section. So dharma, artha, kama and moksha. So this is how it is also connected with the varnashram. So Vedas are trying to give all the knowledge in that regard. So we see that Vyasadeva has completely given all the knowledge, what to do. And whatever varna and whatever ashram you are situated in, accordingly, you will be given, you are given some duties to be followed. And if you follow these duties, ultimately you will satisfy Krishna. You know, ultimate aim is samsiddhi haritoshanam. That is the ultimate aim. So, you may ask that why do Vedas have to give all these, you know, sense gratification section. There is also karmakanda. There is, you know, fruitive work. Like Vedas, you know, there is that section where they tell you what to do so that you will go to a particular planet and you will enjoy this type of, you know, refined sense gratification. Like in the heavenly planets, there are refined sense enjoyment. You know, there is different varieties of music, there is different type of beverages. So, you know, natural question is why every, you know, these Vedas are also talking about these things. So it's like when I was a child and I cut myself and my mother took me to a doctor. And that time the doctor showed some chocolates, you know, different candies. And he was talking to me, which candy do you like, this one or that one or that one or this one. And then by that time he was filling the injection. So I was not paying attention to the chocolates, my attention was there to the injection. And then he understood, so he said that there is one other person coming for whom I am preparing this injection. So I thought, you know, I believed that doctor. And then he started to ask me, which one you like the best, which chocolate, choose anything you want. And he had these jars filled with chocolate. So by the time I was busy looking in the chocolates and, you know, looking at the ingredients, because I was told that you should always read the ingredients before eating anything. So I was reading, and by that time I felt something. And that was the injection. So that's what Vedas are also trying to do with all of us. So these are like the chocolates shown to all of us that, oh, you can do this, then you will, you know, enjoy in this way or that way. But ultimate aim is the injection of Krishna consciousness that is to be given to the living entities. So Vyasadev compiled all these varieties of Smriti, and then also he wrote Mahabharata. So still he was not completely satisfied. What was the reason? Then, you know, Narada Muni is telling him that you have definitely, you know, also glorified Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is in the next purport for tomorrow, that he is saying that you have glorified the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but not to the extent required. The more emphasis, the more glorification has been done for the dharma, artha, kama and moksha. It's like, you know, in that example, the doctor is focusing more on the chocolates. And the doctor is not more focused in the medicine to be given. So that's the solution Narada Muni is telling, that why don't you write specific for the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's the solution Narada Muni is giving, that you should profusely glorify the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then Vyasadev, he also wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is the Srimad Bhagavatam Amalam Puranam Yan Vaishnavanam Priyam. That is the most dear, the best of all the scriptures. It is also called as Puranarka. It is the essence of all the Puranas. The best from all the Puranas has been taken in the form of essence, and that has been given to us. So Srimad Bhagavatam is very, very important. So when Srila Prabhupada, he, even before coming to the United States of America, Prabhupada used to go to the house of Advaita Acharya in Shantipur. And Prabhupada used to, you know, beg for the mercy. He used to pray to Advaita Acharya that, please empower me. I want to go and preach the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This mission has to be spread. And I want to do that. Please give me your blessings. So that time, Srila Prabhupada, you know, he had a friend who also was there as a priest. So one time he was talking, so Prabhupada said that I'm going to the United States now when everything was finalized. So that time he naturally said that, why are you going alone? How will you survive? And he had so many questions. But Srila Prabhupada said that I am not going alone. I am going with Srimad Bhagavatam. And when I have Srimad Bhagavatam, then there is, I am going as a servant of Srimad Bhagavatam. That was the mood of Srila Prabhupada. So even that story, you know, later on, that same person, he saw that there were some Westerners who he saw after a few years, they were coming to that place to see. So naturally he thought that how these people, how come they are wearing tilak and they are wearing the devotional dress. So, you know, that person asked, who are they? So then he came to know that they are the disciples of Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So we see that when we have complete faith in Srimad Bhagavatam that has been compiled by Vyasadeva, who is incarnation of Krishna himself, and Narada Muni, he is son of Brahma. So on the order of Narada Muni, Vyasadeva has compiled this beautiful literature. And that is also the best of all the scriptures. So we should take this literature very seriously, and we should always meditate upon the sacrifices Srila Prabhupada had to always, you know, he had to take so many difficulties in order to translate. Just like Vyasadeva felt compassion that how will these degraded people of Kali Yuga will understand these complicated, intricate Vedas. So Vyasadeva compiled it. And then he also wrote Mahabharata, and he also wrote so many other scriptures. The same way Prabhupada felt so much compassion that now how will other people from the other part of the world, those who do not know Sanskrit and those do not know who is Krishna, how will they understand? So Prabhupada is so compassionate that Prabhupada has translated the already simplified thing, but Prabhupada simplified it so much more so that even, you know, everyone can understand. So not just Indians, or it should not be limited to a particular part of the world. So the glories of Lord Chaitanya, the message of Krishna, should be given to each individual person, whoever can understand. Not even only human beings. If, you know, anyone who can understand, even the lower species, the animals and different, all the lower species, they will also be benefited when the devotees go and chant, when we distribute prasad, or sometimes, you know, one time Prabhupada said that this Krishna consciousness is so simple that even a child can practice and a dog can practice. So naturally, I used to always wonder, how can a dog practice Krishna consciousness? So the actual answer is that the dog can practice Krishna consciousness by honoring prasad. So everyone can be benefited. This Krishna consciousness movement, especially that has been given to us by Srila Prabhupada, everyone can be benefited. And we can become the instruments of compassion of Srila Prabhupada in fulfilling that mission. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anybody has questions? Bhanubhattapu.
Thank you, Prabhu, for a very nice class and explanation. My question is that, you know, as it's described and as you were explaining very nicely, and of course, you know, the Bhagavatam is talking about how Srila Vyasadeva already compiled all the Vedic literatures, and he's feeling despondent, and then he, of course, writes Srimad Bhagavatam. And as we know, historically, Srila Prabhupada did not ever stress Varnashram for practically the whole time he was on the planet. However, in the last year that he was on the planet, he wrote very kind of astounding things and talked about how it's absolutely necessary to develop this Varnashram, instructed the devotees that we should have Varnashram colleges. My question is, and this has always been a question in my mind, that the vanashram is so convoluted nowadays, and mainly because I would say the, you know, when it talks about vaishyas performing their duty, basically vaishya is doing agriculture, and business is simply when there's excess agricultural products and he's able to sell those. Nowadays, what is it, 95% maybe, you know, even agriculture, just, you know, these big corporations are running the farms. So is it possible, my question is it possible to establish vanashram in some sense, or is it just impossible, we should just stick with our daily program and not worry about it?
Actually, my understanding is that Prabhupada has given varnashram because, see, when a pure devotee, when one acharya comes to the world, one of the reasons acharya comes, you know, according to Ramanujacharya, he said, why a pure devotee comes to this material world? So he gave primary five principles, but I will stress only on the first one. He said that he comes to give already given knowledge, but he gives according to that particular time period. So I think Prabhupada has given so many instructions in his books also regarding varnashram, what should be done. And varnashram is like long-term solution. See, when Prabhupada came to the Western countries, if he would have told this is the varnashram, then I think 95 to 99% of people must have ran away, because it's very complicated and people may not understand. So, see, sometimes what happens is a patient may go to the doctor in a severe condition. So that time the doctor may give immediate solution. For now, this is the immediate solution. But when the patient starts to feel a bit better, then the patient is ready to go home, then the doctor may say that it was, you know, just a primary fix. What do you say? Immediate fix. But if you want to be healthy for a long term, then you have to follow these prescriptions. So varnashram is a long-term solution. That's why we see Srila Prabhupada, towards his final days, he said that you must establish varnashram. Srila Prabhupada's very famous statement, which is quoted many times, that varnashram is my unfulfilled mission. So that is something that he has left for all of us. Like Lord Chaitanya, he could have taken every one of us with himself. He could have taken all of us to the spiritual world, but he gave the primary things and then he also left some service for the upcoming generations. So I think that's the way we should look at it, that Srila Prabhupada has given, you know, this service for all of us to establish varnashram. Because that's a long-term solution. If we want to survive for many, many, many years, for long, long term, then varnashram has to be there. Otherwise, it's going to be the lives of cats and dogs. Without varnashram, the life is really, you know, it's going to degrade. Because Kali Yuga is going to be more and more intense. And only giving the higher solution won't be the long-term solution.
Thank you, bro.
That's...
I was just wondering, you know, I could think of a couple people off the top of my head that it doesn't seem like they're in any ashram. They're not a brahmachari. They're not married. They might even have a job. Some don't even have a job. So how to understand that?
Yeah, let's see, there is not a single person that does not have place in varnashram. If we think that there is one person who is not fitting in any ashram, that means we don't know varnashram. It's not the fault of the Varnashram system. It's that we are ignorant. The point is that there can be people who are not, you know, they may appear to be nowhere, but like I said, there is that particular, even within Brahmacharya Ashram, there is Upakurvan, that they may be in the buffer period, that they are extending the buffer. They are still thinking to go on the Brahmachari side or Grihastha side. But ideally, Varnashram has to be very strictly followed, and ultimately it will be beneficial. So that's the point. See, what the example you are saying, that's the actual reason we have to establish Varnashram. Otherwise, that one example will become many, and then that will become a society, and then that will become the, you know, like, that will become our identity. That's what we want to avoid. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.